you'll pardon me if I cough a little bit, went, it's become kind of, I feel like just something that I do now every so often. I should put it on my calendar. I went to see my doctor this week. Here we get to that stage where you just sort of feel like you just have a regular standing meeting with your doctor. I started having a cold and a cough in, November. And went to the doctor and they said, well, you know, it's probably just a thing going around. Here, take this. And I did. And then the cough kept going. I went back and I said, here, take this. And I did. And then the cough came back and I went to the doctor. They said, here, take this. And I did. And I went into the doctor again this last week. He said, I still have this cough. I can't get rid of it. I'm short of breath and I can't do this and I can't do that. I said, so what do I have to do to get rid of this cough? And my doctor looks at me and goes, well, if you figure it out, let me know. I've had this cough for 2 years. And I thought to myself, well, that's not exactly the information I wanted. And he says, well, I don't know now after COVID if any of us really can get rid of our cough. And I thought, well, you got like a C- in like doctor school on bedside manner, didn't you? I like my doctor, don't get me wrong. He just sometimes says things in a very plain fashion. And he says, well, what have we tried? I said, you've tried me on 3 rounds of prednisone. He says, well, I'll give you a fourth. So I'm on my 4th round of prednisone. You know, if you go to your doctor and you say, hey, doc, I've got this cough. And he says, boy, so do I. And then you say, can you get rid of it? He says, I can't get rid of my own. It kind of makes you lose some degree of anticipated hope. You're like, well, gee, am I ever getting well again? Am I going to get better? And in the back of your mind, you know you are. On some level, you know that the weather is not going to be 20 degrees below zero in July. That it's going to warm up, the sun's going to come out, we'll all start feeling better. And to be perfectly frank, the fact that last week was basically a loss, we all stayed home because there was 12 foot of snow in front of our houses, it basically means that we all basically did a little miniature quarantine for a week, didn't we? Maybe we won't have spread quite so much around this upcoming week. So there's a bright side to that, I guess. It was a beautiful out to look at. We all know that things do eventually get better. But you don't necessarily want to hear your doctor say, gee, I don't know how to get rid of a cough. I can't get rid of my own. That's bad news, right? When somebody just looks at you and says, I don't know that there is any hope. Might just be time to give up. Now, to be fair, my doctor did say, well, I think we could try a few things. We could try this, we could try that. We'll try you on prednisone. We'll see how that works. If it doesn't, we'll do something different. So he's not completely given up hope. But in today's gospel lesson, Jesus is looking at a group of people. And he says, you want to know about the kingdom of heaven, don't you? You want to know about what it is that is hopeful. What it is that I can say to you that maybe will make your life better, to help you better understand the world that is around you and God's place in it, and maybe to leave you feeling a little lifted up. And then he begins saying things to them, like, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are those who mourn. Blessed are those who are persecuted. And I have to imagine the folks who were sitting there listening to Jesus, especially if they weren't paying particularly good attention, probably were having the same reaction to what he said that I had when my doctor said to me, I don't know, if you figure out how to get rid of a cough, let me know. You know, blessed are the poor in spirit. I'm sure they were listening going, okay, we're already poor in spirit. Blessed are those who hunger. We're hungry. How do we fix this problem? Blessed are those who mourn. Well, we mourn a lot. How do we get out of that? Blessed are those who are persecuted. Well, the Romans are everywhere. We know all about persecution. How do we make it better? And Jesus doesn't say, this is the way you go and fix your problems. And this is an important thing. Sometimes I think people want to take scripture and faith and the Bible and use it like a self-help course. That if I can figure out how to do all the things right, then I will make all the things in my life that are bad good, and I won't have any problems. That's not the way life works. That's not the way faith works. That's not the way scriptures teach. See, Christianity is not just self-help with extra steps. It's something entirely different. See, when Jesus is talking to his followers, he says, blessed are you who are beaten down and troubled in this world. Blessed are you when you cough from November to February. But it's not because there's no hope. It's because there's no hope in this world. But there is hope to be found in a relationship with God. See, Christianity is not about self-help. Christianity is about divine help. Faith is not about me being better than my neighbor, and so I receive extra good fun stuff from God. This isn't I got a gold star in my paper because I got 100%. In fact, it's entirely the opposite. This is about me recognizing the fact that I got a big old fat F on my test. But the teacher said, come in, I'm going to fix this. I will help you. When Jesus is talking to the disciples who are gathered there on that hillside, he wanted them to understand that what it meant to be a part of God's kingdom wasn't that they were prettier or happier or that our lives are easier or that nothing ever goes wrong, but that when all those things happen, and it is inevitable that we will all face those sorts of things, that we have hope because we have a God who lifts us back up again. I don't know if you have experienced this as traumatically as I've been experiencing it, but there's been this weird thing that's happened in the world that we live in as a direct result of, and I'm not demonizing it because it's not all bad, but as a direct result of AI in the world that we live in. And that is, seeing is no longer believing. And it's not always necessarily obvious things where, you know, people do AI artwork that, you know, has George Washington in the same room with, you know, Donald Trump and Nancy Pelosi. Obviously, you know, you look at that, oh, that's not real. It's the things that are just this close to reality that you look at and you go, wow, look at that. There's this city in Russia where they have snowdrifts that are so high they can bobsled down them. And you think to yourself, well, that could be real, you know? And then you really do the research and you're like, well, yeah, okay, they got 8 foot of snow, but that's not the same thing as 30 foot of snow. We live in a world now where we can't really know whether what we're seeing is true or not. That's unsettling. It is unsettling to know that we don't know when we go to our experts, when we look at our news feeds, when we read our papers. We don't know whether our experts are telling us the truth or not. We live in a life of uncertainty. And boy, do people on the internet seem to have things better than we do. Their lives are happier, their teeth are straighter, their faces are prettier, their lives are easier, and oh my goodness, I love some of the things people do. You know, I was watching this person the other day, and they were talking about making something. It was a food item, I think. And they were showing you their beautiful kitchen and all of their shiny appliances and all of the cool things they were making. And they just whipped this thing up. And all of their ingredients were right there on the counter, pre-measured out for them, you know. And they just had to dump this in and dump that in and dump this in and whisk this. They snapped their fingers and all the vegetables chopped themselves. And I remember thinking, wow, you know, you watch this video and you think you can make this thing in like 7 minutes. Except, of course, and this is my favorite part of it, my absolute favorite part of it, this person drew the curtain back for a moment. And they said, of course, you should probably see this, and they turned the camera around to their sink, and it's nothing but a stack of dirty dishes, measuring cups, and pots, and pans, and things dripping off the counter. And I thought, that's the part you're not supposed to see. The fact that it's life's not easy for anybody. Everyone suffers. We're all, every last human being, every single one of us, broken creatures. When Jesus addresses the crowd, he doesn't ask them to ignore that fact. He doesn't ask them to put on a mask and pretend like that's not true. He doesn't even ask them to engage in a little grousing and grumbling and griping about it. He doesn't say to them, isn't life hard? Doesn't all these things just make you miserable? Life sucks. No. He says, you know what? I want you to change your perspective on these things. I want you to see each and every brokenness in your life as a place where God wants to take and have a moment of healing with you. That God wants to meet you in all your broken places. That God wants to lift you up in all your fallen states. That, yeah, you're still poor in spirit. You're still mourning. You're still crying. You're still hungry. You're still persecuted. But in each of those places, I'm going to meet you. I'm going to walk with you. I'm going to give you strength. I'm going to give you hope that I will give you what you need to overcome your reality. That when you are mourning, my arm is around you, my strength is with you. When you are crying, I will stand next to you and I will cry with you, and then I will help you stand back up. When you are persecuted, I have been with every persecuted prophet in history, and I have a reward in heaven for them, and so will I for you. When you feel broken, this isn't a sign that God doesn't love you. This isn't a sign that God will abandon you because he doesn't want to be around broken stuff. This is a reminder that it's in exactly this place that God wants to come and encounter and strengthen and be with you. So when he says, blessed are you when, this is what he means. Because of all of the things that this world could offer us, of all of the good and all of the happy and all of the positive that the world can give us when we're at our best, it is nothing compared to the grace, mercy, love, forgiveness, and renewal that God wants to offer to us when we are at our worst. So I say to you all as you gather here on this Sunday, be blessed. Just understand that in God's eyes, the greatest blessings given to humanity are those given when we are at our lowest and our need is the greatest. And our hope is that the least that we could find in this life, when your doctor says, well, I don't think I can get rid of that cough. And you're like, oh, well, that's not what I wanted to hear. God comes to us in those moments and says, but I will be enough. And I will lift you up. And nothing in this world that has failed you will fail in my kingdom. Amen.